Right now, it's time to check in on Hillsborough. We've got Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens on the line on what is a quiet week in terms of town government, but always a lot of excitement going on in Hillsborough with events upcoming this weekend and a town board meeting that is coming up later on this week to talk about water and sewer rates. Mayor Stevens, good to be with you today.
Well, likewise. Happy Monday.
Thank you. So let's actually start by talking about an event that happened last week, Thursday. Town held a public info session on the town's clean energy plan. And this is a long-term clean energy plan trying to get the town to the point of using 80% renewable energy by 2030, 100% renewable energy by 2050. So let's talk about the public info session last week and what the current state of the plan is. What is the plan and what are sort of the action items to get to those points?
Well, sure. And we're talking like the plan. Aaron, to be honest, there's not a plan right now. It is a commitment from us. And we were clear from the beginning is we don't know how we're going to do this. But we know that this is important. It's important for the planet. It's important for Hillsborough. If there's a place that we could take some leadership, we want to see this outcome that we ultimately will be 100% clean energy. And let's look at what that's going to take. What we realized is, you know, we also wanted to be committed to doing that so it involved a lot of our citizens, that it would be a learning experience. We only have control over town facilities, but we want to make it something that everyone would be able to tap into. And so looking at this whole issue of clean energy also through the lens of social equity, mm-hmm. that would be very important to us. So where do we start with that? Well, the first thing that we have done is engaged some folks at TJ COG, that's the Triangle Council of Governments for our region, and have a small project just to start us with an assessment and start us getting thinking about this. And that's what the public information meeting was from last week. I was looking at some of this data for the first time, and what our TJ COG consultants have done for us is at least done a very quick passing survey of just what is our energy use right now, what is our basic, and really falls into two camps. It's our vehicles, the fuel that we're using for our trucks and vehicles, lots of mostly gasoline, some diesel, and so we had some numbers about how much of that we're using on an annual basis. And then if you take all of our buildings and facilities and the police station, the wastewater treatment plant, how much electricity are we using? And so that's kind of our baseline. And so, and interestingly, I don't have those numbers in front of me. I was seeing them for the first time, but it's something like to the order of over 4 million kilowatt hours a year that we're using in electricity. What we did also in that public information meeting, and I think this was very helpful, is that our facilitators from TJ COG were very clear about what is it the goal that we set for ourselves, because it'd be very easy to get sidetracked. We didn't set a goal of reducing greenhouse gases, although that's something we're interested in. We didn't say we wanted to use less electricity. That might be necessary depending on how much clean energy is available. We just said, you know, it's not about the amount of energy that we use. It's about what percentage is going to be clean. And it became really clear to me, this is kind of my analysis walking out of the meeting, because I'm looking at the data for the first time, one side, we can certainly think about moving towards electric vehicles for reducing our fossil fuels to the degree that we can. And for some vehicles, we might be able to do that. Some of those vehicles don't even exist right now. So we're going to be relying on new technology. And even if we do move to electric vehicles, it goes back to the other part. Where do we get this other over 400 million kilowatt hours of clean energy from? And we're either going to be producing it or we're going to have to be buying it. And so that really gets down to the question about this is what becomes a sticky wicket to solve this. This isn't going to happen without partnerships with Duke Energy and other producers. It also makes us kind of look at is, you know, what's really involved in producing this energy and how do we contribute to that and how does that fit in the policy landscape? So it was a very interesting meeting. It's just the very beginning. Again, I think I speak for the board. We're very committed to this notion of clean energy. But it's going to be a very interesting sticky wicket problem to solve.
And I know every single time we have the conversation locally about sort of moving to clean energy or reducing our carbon footprint, it always invariably comes back to reducing our energy use and figuring out ways to use less energy in the first place before we even talk about the source of energy. And that's difficult when you're talking about a situation where, and we've talked about this too, Hillsborough is a growing town. We're going to have double the population in the next few decades, and businesses and commercial space to match to go along with it. So there's more people, more businesses, so presumably more energy use. But we have already had success locally in terms of reducing water use. So energy use is definitely an attainable goal.
Absolutely. And that's also sort of helpful clarifying the goals, that we think that we'll use less in order to meet this goal, but the goal itself is not used less. It's the goal itself is to have clean energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's our energy budget? You know, what's it going to take to do this? We have some natural conservation that happens with our water just because of the cost of the water. And we've feel like we've taken some really good steps. You know, our town hall is an old building that originally dates back to the 1820s. But we've done energy audits. We've certainly have policies about idling vehicles. We feel like we've been attending to being good stewards for environmental issues and using our resources wisely. This is going to really take it to a whole new level. So it's very, we also committed to doing it right. You know, we've got to be planful. We can't just sort of jump in and start doing all little things that look really good. Oh, let's go buy some vehicles. What we really want to do is what's it going to take in the long run? And we ask the public to be patient with us. One, to stay with us and to keep sort of pushing us, but at the other level is to be patient, because what we want to do as a community, be very, very planful as we move ahead so we can make it work.
Speaking with Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens, and I know you don't have the numbers in front of you, but do we have a rough sense of what percentage of our town's energy right now is renewable? I know the goal is 80% by 2030. Do we know what it is today?
Well, we purchase all of our energy, so it would be whatever, we get from Duke Energy for most parts and streetlights. So I don't think we do have a very good sense of that. We're not necessarily producing a whole lot of energy. We don't have solar panels or geothermal at really any of our facilities yet. And even that, when you start approaching the 400 kilowatt hours, which still is still a pretty small amount. So right now, again, we're dependent on what we can purchase. And so that's why it's going to be very, very important to work with our larger partners. And that's just for town facilities. What was interesting, Aaron, was we did have some breakdown about where the big users of our electricity is, and certainly the police department, which is not a big surprise in some of our buildings, because that's a third of our entire workforce, and certainly takes almost half of our general budget and goes to public safety. So that was a big user, but probably the biggest just straight out electrical user is our wastewater treatment plants, mm-hmm. which is one of the best and most efficient in the country, especially in terms of what wastewater treatment. So now we have to look at that, the power for that. And who knows, 20 years from now, there might be all kinds of technologies that we could harness with that. So some way to tie that into some sort of hydro kind of energy generation, or maybe can take that area and make it a solar farm as well as a wastewater treatment plant. That's going to be some big thinking, but that's not going to happen overnight.
So let's turn to water. The meeting we're talking about was last week, Thursday. This Thursday, the town board is meeting with the Water Sewer Advisory Board to talk about water rates. Public comment period on this is going on for another hour and 16 minutes, right? 5 o'clock today is when the public comment period on this proposed water rate change is. But the town board meeting is coming up this Thursday. So what do people need to know about the state of the conversation right now?
Well, we're based on the public input that we had in my conversations with other commissioners. I think we're pretty clear and feel solid about the budget that we can move forward without a tax increase. I think we're all very, very clear, especially with the commitments we made with the revenue bonds to pay for the reservoir. We're going to have to raise water rates. And so the question is, how much? Somewhere, you know, it's going to be a minimum 5%, probably, you know, it could be 10%. The manager has recommended 7.5% per year over the course of 3 years. There was a discussion from the Water and Sewer Advisory Board. Let me remind folks that the Water and Sewer Advisory Board was created because of the high cost of water and sewer in the town for having a sort of community watchdog, folks in the community who could advise the town board and staff and, you know, another set of eyes on what are the decision making we have to ensure that our utilities are very well managed. And that's the spirit that I think our current Water and Sewer Advisory Board was looking at this. Two things in some of their preliminary talks, you know, we're really, really concerned, this is true at the board and the Water and Sewer Advisory Board, about the affordability for people who are on fixed incomes, for folks who are lower income. I mean, it's very expensive for anybody, but you know, boy, you know, we just recognize that that becomes a barrier to living in Hillsborough. And is there something that we can do about that? It is at this point against state law. We can't charge differential rates. I'm not sure that's what would be the direction to go anyway. But there was a real concern about affordability. The second issue is just the making sure that we're very good stewards of the finances. So the Water Sewer Board, when they talked about this previously, they said, well, maybe the 7.5 is not enough. They're leaning towards keeping the rates a little bit higher that keeps our deficit down, that even with a 7.5%, we'd be running a pretty significant deficit. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at when we have this joint meeting on Thursday, is kind of what's that right level of increase that's going to help keep our deficit down and be make us hold us to fiscal responsibility. At the same time, you know, how can we, you know, minimize the impact for rates? And that's worthy of a lot of discussion. And I think that is really the big issue that the board will take up when we look at the budget on next Monday, the 11th, when we were likely to take that up.
HillsboroughNC.gov for more information on the town government. Again, upcoming meeting this Thursday with the Water Sewer Advisory Board. Next week, Monday at 7, the town board's regular meeting. Any upcoming events this weekend before we wrap up?
Well, quickly, Aaron, you know there's always upcoming events in Hillsborough.
The answer is yes to that question every
time. Yeah, of course. And they're all there. You know, you can, on Saturdays, there's nice tours that the Alliance provides for folks at the local venues, whether that's Mystery Brewing, whether that's Nashtree Tavern, whether that's Hot Tin Roof. There's lots of live music that's going on. Certainly, we're expecting good weather. Great time to walk around Riverwalk and the restaurants, the art galleries will be open. So it's just one of those nice summer weekends to visit Hillsborough. There's not a big event like Hog Day or anything coming up, but always nice things going on. And that's where going to visit HillsboroughNC.com is very useful to figure out what those particular things are.
And you mentioned a lot of those great places. I just had a chance to go to the King Street Bar for the first time yesterday, I think. And that was a great place too.
Yeah, a little bocce court there.
Yep. Inside, it's really nice.
Whether you want to sort of sit outside at one of the pubs, whether you want to hear some music, whether you want to have a kind of an elegant dinner or just wander around in a really casual way, Hillsborough is a great place to be.
Yeah. Visit HillsboroughNC.com for events and happenings, HillsboroughNC.gov for town government information. Mayor Stevens, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.